Man, he's good, isn't he? You know, he's not so-so. You know that phrase, so-so. Man, that's not our Jesus. That's not our God. He's the best. Whatever situation, every season, he remains sovereign, true, great, holy, perfect. He's there. He's it. And the good news about that is the way he feels about you. So you're in his presence today, which means you're in a good place. Yeah, why don't you grab your seats? I'm Dan, by the way. I haven't been here for a little while. We've been in Indonesia and other stuff, but stoked to be back with you. Feel like this room is so big. Like we've been in lots of other rooms. So if you feel like you're sitting by yourself today, or if you see someone by themselves, why don't you just buddy up with them and say, hey, I'm your new best friend. So this morning, it's good to be here. Stoked to be back. Stoked also to hear that while we're away, like we were seeing posts going up about young people sharing about what the difference Jesus made in their lives. Man, I was so encouraged to see that. I loved hearing about how there's like new guests in the place who want to get involved in what God's doing in other people's lives. I think that's huge. I think it's also huge, you know, baby Isaac came along and it's awesome. It's great news that he's here. I don't know if he's here this morning. Is he here? He's not here this morning. But yeah, great news about that and how, you know, God's just doing good things in people's lives. So this morning, here we are, we're all together. And we're at the end of October, which, you know, lots of people have different feelings about that. Young people, if you're here, you'll hear old people say a lot, oh man, where did the year go? As if like the year wasn't going to go anywhere, that we didn't know it was already going to go. We knew October was coming. But isn't it funny how like we say those things like, oh, the year's just gone by so quickly, or things like, or do you ever remember like people who you haven't seen for years, they're like, oh, you've grown up? It's like, what was I meant to do? Like, you expected me to reverse? But we say these phrases all the time of like, oh, the year's gone by so quickly, or looks like it might rain. You know, we like point out the obvious, but sometimes the obvious isn't the thing that we're actually involved in. It kind of feels like it's just happening to us. So here we are at the end of October, and in this room, there's mixed feelings because we got a whole bunch of young people who just finished year 12, and they're like, yes, I've been waiting for this day. And that's good. We got other people in the room who are like, October already, oh my goodness, it feels like we only just had like March, or it feels like it's just raced through, or there's other people who are pregnant and it feels like time's taking forever, or people who have just had babies and aren't having any sleep and it feels like it's one nightmare of a really, really long day. And we're in this room together and we're all in different places, but we're in the same place and we're at the same time period. But I believe that God is God over all. God is God in all. And wherever we're at, whoever we are, we can take courage and refuge in him, right? So we could have found that we're at this place in October and be like, it's a surprise to us because we've been so focused or so determined, or, oh, Harry's back. Awesome to have you, Harry. It's good to see you. Sorry, I just saw your smiling face and wanted to take this moment to make you embarrassed and say, it's good to have you back. Anyway, so we could be in this place of like so focused, so determined, and it's taken us by surprise because we've had our head down and now we're in October. Or we could be at the point of where we're like so blasé about everything, and then we take a breath and realize our year's already gone. And I think we could be in both camps, and we want to talk today in the next couple of weeks about the things that kind of, it feels like the things that guide our life. And if things are taking control of our life, or where we sit in that. And we kind of want to look at those things and talk about it and unpack them, because wherever we're at, we could really look at October. It's really the end of October, isn't it? It's like the last weekend of October. We could look at this like, yep, Christmas is almost here. So how about we just like kind of take our hands off and just relax and just kind of coast early into holidays. And I know there's people here who work in different settings. And if you're like Raph, you're like, man, work feels like busier than ever. So I can't relax until I know that all these things are finished. And we could either look at our last part of the year, which is like really November, December, as like, let's just sit back, relax, and just see where it takes us. Maybe we could take a few more cheat meals, or maybe we could stop exercising so much because it's almost the end of the year. How about we just relax? Or we could be forgiven for thinking uni's nearly over, school's over, nearly over. How about we just let things go and settle in early? Or we could actually look at what God has given us for the rest of this year and think, that's 2 months out of 12. That's a big chunk. That's 2 months out of 12. If we were to include October, I know we're at the end of October. If we were to include October, that's like a quarter of a year. And I know I look super athletic and all of my sporting analogies are always on point. But often I've heard that the last quarter is often the most important. And we could look at our year and be thinking, how about we just coast and just make it to Christmas and just relax? Or we could just think, now God's still given us this last quarter. What does God want to do in this last quarter? What has God been setting up? What has he been doing already? And some of you are in this room and you're like, man, all this talk about God, I don't even know him. Well, the comforting thing for you is he knows you. So it's all right. Just you can just relax, take a deep breath, and just maybe take a deep breath in of who he could be and who he wants you to know him as. But we want to look at the things that kind of like shape our year or take our energy. And this image to me, if you can't work it out, it's a guy who is underwater, and that thing is a leash. And in all that turmoil of white water is his surfboard. I don't know if you've been in any big surf before, but when you get hit, man, you don't know which way is up and it feels like things are just everywhere. Some people hate it. I think it's one of the most enjoyable feelings in the world. It's just like, he's just like free in this like turmoil and just getting swamped around. But this image is the guy's kind of free, but his surfboard is dragging him into the turmoil. And whatever your life is, you could feel like there's something dragging you. You could feel like maybe life just feels like it's too much and it's just dragging you. Well, this series, we're calling Out of Control. We're calling it Out of Control. And we use phrases like this a lot of the time too. Maybe you've been in the supermarket and you've seen a kid in a trolley and a mum or a dad who is just like at their wit's end, and the mum or dad's face is red with embarrassment and the kid's face is like blood red with like terror and veins popping out from their throat. And what's the phrase we use? That kid is just out of control. Well, I want to thank you for not judging me with my children in the supermarket, because I know I've been there and it feels like the kid is out of control and the parent should have control. You know that thing? We see people and you can't hear it in the aisle. You can hear it like across the other side of the shopping center. That kid, I've been there. I've probably been that kid. But I've been there. But we're often really quick to be like, that parent should really be in control. Anyone relate to that? You've seen that? Or maybe you can relate to the feeling of it feels like other people in relationships are calling all the shots and you have no say. It feels like maybe they're controlling you. And we use the phrase of, you're trying to control me. What should it be? Should it be the parent is in a relationship that is controlling the child and the child should be controlled? Or is it that, no, nobody should control me. You can't control me. What is it that should be right? And if we look at life in our post-Christian world, which is what we're living in a world that is post-Christian. Let's not fool ourselves and think, what's happened to the world? The world's happened to the world. Let's not be surprised at things, but let's be thinking, God, what is it that you say? God, what does your word tell me? Because when it feels like life is out of control, or it feels like I'm being controlled, God, what should I be feeling? What is my response? What can you help me with? What does your word say to me? So which is it? Because we could relate to the supermarket, or we could relate to relationships that feel like they're controlling us and it feels like you've got no say. You know, there's probably a whole lot more that happens in our lives that feels like it controls us. Maybe for you it is work. Maybe it feels like work is just dominating your life. Or maybe it feels like there's a bad behavior in your, maybe an addiction in your life. I've been there too. It feels like things have control of you. Or maybe for you, it's a lack of discipline and you feel like you're just out of control and there is no real direction. There's nothing really set. Or maybe it's the demands on you. Maybe your work or uni or school feels out of control and you don't really know where to start because it's just been overwhelming. Maybe your finances are out of control. Maybe your mood is controlling you. Maybe your emotions are out of control. Here's a reality for you. Something is always in control. Something is always in control. Whether it's you or your emotions, something's in control. I don't actually believe necessarily in a thing of out of control because I think there is always something in control. And so that's a reality. But the good news for you is this. You actually have more control than you are told. You actually have more control than you are told. Come with me to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at the very beginning, the setup, the perfect plan, how it all looks when God created it. Because if you've been around church for a long time, I even catch myself praying it. Like, thank you, God, that you are in control. But what does that mean? Does that mean I have no control? Well, let's have a look. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. It says, so God created human beings in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them, male and female. Then God blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry on the ground. So if this is your first time in church, the book of Genesis is really the picture of the beginning. What we believe is how God created the world. We believe that he is God. He is creator. He is sovereign. He reigns over all. He is the ultimate. And this is the story of the beginnings, our origins. You can find it on Google. Google will even take you there. If you don't have a Bible, but you want a Bible, just ask the person next to you, can I have your Bible? And see what they say. Anyway, so this is the beginning. This is like the setup. And we see here that God created us in his image. We're like, yep, get that. But check this. God blessed it. God blessed what he created. And then he said, be fruitful. He didn't say do fruitful. He said, be fruitful. Why? Because God is more interested in who you are becoming than what you are doing. He's really interested in you and who you are. Not in what you do, but actually in who you are. Why? Because he wants to bring you into relationship. And we can't have a relationship with a job list. We can have a relationship with a person. So God said, be fruitful. He didn't say do multiplication sums, Adam. He said, be fruitful. But check it out. He blessed him first, and then he's like, with my blessing, you can be fruitful. You can be fruitful. You can multiply. And he blessed it, and he said, be fruitful, multiply. And the thing I believe that God is drawing us, our attention to today, is he's really interested in who you are becoming. Are we as interested in who he is? Because a lot of the time we just get caught up in our world and the things that it feels like is our storm or the thing that's pulling our leg rope. And he's really interested in who you are becoming. Are we just as interested in who he is? Because in any relationship, my marriage would be terrible if it was all one-sided. And any relationship is always, there's always two people. It's two-sided. And God is really interested in you. Are we really interested in him? Whether we know him or not, whether we've been on this journey 5 days or 50 years, are we still as interested in who he is? But check it out. It says, fill the earth, govern it, reign over the fish in the sea. Look, I've given you everything. And it said, God looked at it. At the very end of it, after he blessed it, after he said, be fruitful, here, do this, reign over all this stuff. Afterwards, he's like, that's a really, really good idea. That's a great idea. Good job, God. High five the Trinity. And they're like, yes, this is a good plan. With our blessing, you can be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say, I've created you and bound you to your job to produce an outcome. He didn't control us. God blessed us. God created us in His image. He's like, now that you're created in my image, with my blessing on you, be free to go, govern, reign, fill the earth, multiply. See, our God is not a God of control. He isn't here to control your life. He's got a really good plan, a really good picture, as it were. A really good way that it could happen, and that's with His blessing. See, our life is much better off when we're connected with Him. It's really, really good for us to be connected with God, because He blessed us. And He's like, if you stay connected with me, stay with me, then you're going to experience a blessing and a multiplication and a fruitfulness on your life. And even though things can feel out of control, you're much better with His blessing on your life than without His blessing and things feeling out of control. Our God didn't create us to control us, but He did give us His blessing. The problem with us in church is we're like, but we say things like, thank you, God, that you're in control, don't we? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Because is He in control? Or did He give us control? Because He put Adam in the garden with His blessing, and He's like, here, govern, reign, rule over it. In other words, you call the shots. With my blessing, with you connected to me, Adam, go call the shots. You can do this. You can do this connected with me. You can do this with my blessing on your life. So what is it? Is God in control, or are we in control? Well, I don't want to give you the answer, so let's keep looking, right? Because we pray these things, and if you've grown up in church like I have, we're like, God, you must be in control, because we get really scared. If God's not in control, what is? And we search Scripture, and we say these nice cliche things, and we even read things like Jeremiah 29:11. God, if you're not in control, then who has the plans and the purpose for me? You know those little phrases that we quote all the time? For I know the plans and the purpose I have for you. I just want to just throw this question out there. Is God really in control? Or has He given us control? See, we find safety in words. And I don't think control is the best word to describe God. Because He didn't create us to fulfill a task. He didn't create us to do a job. He didn't force us to do things. He's created opportunity for us to know His blessing on our life. And He's created us to know Him. In other words, there's nothing that takes God by surprise. The better word to describe God is sovereign, not control. Because God isn't a God of control. God didn't force me to come to church this morning. God didn't force me to stay in love with my wife. God isn't forcing me to want to be a better parent to my children. God is saying, hey, your life's better if it's connected with me and you can know my blessing and your life will be better and will be feeling like things are not out of control the more that we are connected with Him. Does that mean that we are in control of everything? Well, no, that doesn't make sense either, because what happens when there's an accident on the road? We're not in control of that. But let's keep looking, because it says, God put him there. If we keep looking in chapter 2, it says, the Lord made the earth, the heavens. Let me pick this up so I can see it closer. For the Lord had not sent rain, all that sort of stuff. Verse 6, instead springs came up from the ground. So in other words, God's got good irrigation control, good plans, good ideas for how things work, right? Then the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. See that again. Became. God's more interested in what you are becoming as you're connected with Him, because he became after he had God's breath. Check it out. God just keeps giving and giving and giving and giving to this guy. He gave him breath and he became a living person. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and he placed the man in it. The Lord God made all sorts of trees from the ground, trees that were beautiful, that produced delicious fruit. The middle of the garden was planted the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It goes on to say that there was more great irrigation with rivers and all this sort of stuff. But check it out, verse 15. Then the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it. But the Lord warned him, God warned him, you may freely. That's not a warning. You may be free. That's not a warning. That's like the best news ever. You may freely eat of anything in this garden. Anything. He's not controlling Adam at all. He's saying, hey, Adam, here's this awesome garden. You have freedom in the garden. Freely eat of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If, that word if, because check it out, God's not saying you can't. He's saying if you eat of that fruit, you're sure to die. In other words, he's being a good dad. He's giving freedom. He's not controlling this person. He's saying, here, Adam, this is the best environment for you. There's also some things in here that are dangerous for you. So because I'm not controlling you, I'm setting you up to win. This bit here isn't good for you. It's not going to go well for you. So stay away from that. You've got complete freedom in this garden, right? It goes on to say, it is not good for the man to be alone. So God knows what's good and what isn't good for us. I'll make a helper who is just right for him. Just right. He knows what's good for you. He knows what is just right for you. He knows that you are created in his image with his blessing and in the freedom that he gives you. He isn't controlling you saying, no, you can't, no, you can't, no, you can't, no, you can't. He's saying, I'm God. I'm giving you my blessing. If you're connected with me, your life will know goodness, because he said, this is really good this way. And he gives us the freedom in being created in his image to choose. He's not controlling you at all. He's giving you a life of freedom. And whatever you've heard about Jesus, whatever you've heard about Christianity, whatever you've heard about knowing God, he is a God who created you to know blessing, to know freedom, and to know life. Because he said, your choice can end in death. Here's what I've given you. It can end in life abundantly. Our God is sovereign. He is completely aware of everything. And the God who formed us has placed us to know freedom and to know also what is not good for us. So is God controlling Adam? No, he's not. He's giving him position. He's giving him purpose. He's giving him direction. He's giving him guidelines. He's giving him blessing. But God gave Adam something else. And control is probably the wrong word. The better word is dominion, the ability to rule. In other words, the person sitting in your chair is a ruler. You're created to rule. You're not created to have control. You're created to rule. How? Rule in his image, rule in his blessing, rule in his life, his freedom, everything he has given you. Are you created to be controlled? I don't believe we are created to be controlled, because anytime you look back through history, when any person has too much control or too much power, abuse is inevitable. And when we have too much control, when we have too much, say, so if we take this picture with God saying, hey, imagine this is God and this is me, and he's saying your life is better connected, which means my ability to rule is based on him now. My ability to rule is based on my connection to him, because his blessing comes from him. The minute I choose to be have dominion over my own life, I'm no longer doing it with his blessing. It's no longer based on him, it's all based on me. And God's saying the best picture for your life, if it feels like things are out of control, is let's just make sure this connection's good. If this connection is good, then it's all based on him and our freedom that is found in him and our life that is found in him. So no matter what circumstances are tugging at our leg leash, man, I know that my life and my freedom and everything is connected to the sovereign one. It's not necessarily about control, but it's about the dominion he's created you to have. And we can pray prayers like, God, won't you just do it? Won't you just take this addiction from my life? God, won't you just change my mind? Won't you just change the way I think? And the whole time he's like, hey, I've given you my blessing. I've given you my blessing. You don't need that thing for me to make you free from it because you should have my blessing. There's no death in his blessing. There's no corruption in his blessing. He said, hey, I've given you my blessing and I've given you my image and I've given you dominion, which means we have everything we need in this life to reign. And you could be like, Dan, that's easy for you to say. You don't know my January, February, March, all the way through to October. I'm saying, hey, let's look at this last quarter. Let's look at this last quarter. Whatever your January through to this moment has been, whether it's been sickness, whether it's been turmoil, I'm saying, hey, let's look at this last quarter. If he is a God of sovereignty, of life, of freedom, of blessing, and he's created you in his image to rule, you are set up for this last quarter. So what does this all mean? Do we really have control? Because clearly we don't have control over weather. Even before coming up on stage, Noah's like, hey, Dan, look at me. He's just trying to control me. He's like, look at me. He looks at me straight in the eyes. He's like, your hair's terrible. I'm like, you're just trying to control me. Tidied my hair up because he said I should. But, you know, we have this thing inside of us of like, you can't control me. I remember like 17, 18, 19, I'm probably fooling myself. It probably went to today. You know, I had this thing, if you can't tell me, grew up in church, I'm like, see a sign in Rundle Mall, no skateboarding. I'm going to skateboard down Rundle Mall. You can't control me. Well, you know, like, we think we're rebellious. I remember wearing a different T-shirt under my school uniform just to show them, you can't control what I wear, so I'm going to wear something under my school shirt because you can't control. We fool ourselves. We think we're the ruler of our own life and we're making these big decisions, but the whole time we're meant to be the ruler, created and connected with him. Life-giving freedom. And a lot of the time, if I'm really honest, the things where I think I should have more control of this, it's actually not life-giving, or it's actually not freedom, it's actually not multiplication or abundance. It's often just selfishness. Or it's me fighting something that I think is trying to control me, when the whole time I just need to take a breath, take a step back, go back to Genesis and see, hey, I'm actually created to be connected with him. Fast forward through to the book of John, chapter 15, Jesus himself paints it this way. He's like, hey, imagine God's got this amazing garden, and in this amazing garden is Jesus the vine. He's like, the best thing for your life is to be a branch connected to that vine. The very best thing, connected with God. Whatever things are happening, and we could look at a garden and there could be a storm coming through that garden. You know, for that branch, it's heaps better to be connected to the vine in a storm than not connected to the vine in a storm, because it's just going to get blown away. Our life is so much better to be connected with him. So much better. But what do we do with this whole control issue? Well, I think it's really, really quite simple. We just see God as who he is, and then we see ourselves as who he says we are. We are actually his, created to be connected with him. And we could be like, but it feels like things controlling my life. Well, I want to say to you, you actually have more control than you realize. We could be like, you don't understand my boss. Man, my boss is the worst. Man, he's just driving me. He's on my back all the time. You're right. You don't have control over your boss, but you do have control over you. We do. We have more control than we realize, and we can be like, no, you don't understand my situation. That's right. Your situation doesn't have control. You have control in the situation over you, not the situation. We could be like, but you don't understand my DNA and my genes and my metabolic makeup. You don't understand how hard it is for me. We can make all sorts of excuses and say, yes, 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 but we always have the good choice of making healthy decisions for our body, creating good sleep patterns, creating good work and rest patterns in our life. So it feels like things aren't out of control. You hear what I'm saying? There's some things we can't control. We can't control if that bus is going to hit us. We can't control some things in our world, but we can control us. And we can say, we can't necessarily control the situation, but you can always control your face. Do you know what I mean? You know when you're in a situation or you're in a bad mood? Do you know where the bad mood exists? It's not out there in the atmosphere. The bad mood exists here. Because my bad mood actually doesn't exist in Ames' world when we're at home. My bad mood exists here, but it affects everything else. See, I could say, nah, my situation is the kids just haven't slept and they've had too much sugar and they're driving me nuts. And I could create this situation and say, this is controlling me. But really, I have all the control I need because I should know who God is, who He's created me to be. He's the vine. I'm in His garden. Everything is actually going to be okay. Maybe the band should come. Here's a picture we see in Scripture. We're better connected with Him. You may not have control over everything, nor should you. We shouldn't be controlling people. We should be pointing people to Jesus. You know, the church for a long time has been looked at as a place of controlling people. We don't actually see that in Scripture. We see in Scripture that we are created to know God. And that with His blessing on our life, as we stay in submission to Him, He actually brings about a change in our life. I'll be honest, in the past, as the Christian church, we have pointed fingers and we have said statements and we have made declarations that have sounded controlling. And I see that anytime Jesus is with people, He's just making a way for them to come closer. He's making a way for them to come closer into right connection relationship again. Because control actually doesn't bring about the outcome that I believe God desires for every single one of us. Do you know what does? Him being Lord. Relationship. And I can't force Noah into relationship with God. I can't force Noah into having God Lord of Noah's life. That is a decision that Noah makes. Why? Because He's created to have dominion and rule. And as rulers, we are not sovereign, He is. We are created to rule with His blessing under Him being sovereign. So when I say like we are not created to control people, we have this saying here at the Church of Bethany that we will disciple people to Jesus, which means this. When it comes to an individual's life, there may be things that are addressed, but that is not for us to control. That is just for us to say, is He your Lord? Is He the ruler who's given you dominion? Because that's what we see in Scripture. Maybe, how about we just stand? There's one verse I want to put up on screen. And there's so much that could be said, but really we just want to start the conversation today with this idea of control. Have a look at this verse. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. What does that mean? It means it's vulnerable, it's open to attack. Probably the best analogy we could have is a person who has no rule over his own spirit is like a person who takes a photo of their credit card and posts it on Facebook with all their details. This is taken advantage of. Or maybe a better way, a person who has no rule over their own life is like a person who all their information is accessible and they can be taken advantage of. In other words, what is this verse saying to us? He's saying, hey, you should have rule over your own spirit. You actually have rule over your own spirit. But where does the rule or where does the authority to rule come from? It comes from the connection. This moment is about connection. We believe that God is sovereign. We believe that you are created to be in connection. You are created to have rule and dominion. This moment is about the sovereign one and the ruler. The sovereign one and the ruler. These guys are going to lead us in some worship songs. It's really just an opportunity for you to say, God, you're sovereign over my life. I surrender my life again to you. God, these things feel like they're out of control. These things feel like they're controlling me. Or these things feel like I don't have a say. Here's what this moment is all about. It's all about God. You are sovereign and you've created me to rule in your blessing. Give me the wisdom. God, won't you speak to me? And then as we leave this place, his word doesn't leave, but this is what we have to live through this controlling existence we call post-Christian worlds, where we are actually created to rule. Jesus, we understand that you are the best. And in our world, it feels like there's so many different things controlling us or that we should have control over. God, help us in this moment just to take a deep breath and recognize that you are sovereign and you see it all and you are over. Nothing takes you by surprise at all. Even our little world of turmoil, God, if it's our moods that are controlling us, God, help us to see what you have spoken over us. God, the things that feel like they're running out of control of our life, God, thank you that you have created us to have rule and to have dominion in a way that brings freedom and multiplication and life. But in this moment, God, we just want to forget about those things and know you. Holy Spirit, we're grateful that you are here to reveal Jesus to us, who brings us back into relationship with the Father. We desperately need to be in relationship with you, God. Holy Spirit, won't you be moving in our lives, pointing out the things where we are trying to control instead of ruling from a place of freedom coming through your blessing. Won't you point out the things in our world that are probably controlling us that shouldn't be. Thank you that you have said we are created to rule and that you have painted the perfect picture of us being connected with you. God, we make decisions in this moment to come back into connection with you. Would you guys lead us? How about we just use this as an opportunity to come close to him, maybe to surrender to him.
No, I can't get enough.
Maybe for you to be lifting your hands and making verbal statements to him.
Of your amazing love.
Maybe it's whipping out your notebook and starting to write, God, this has been my January to now.
No, I can't get
but this is my
enough.
Last quarter with you, God. Thank you that you've created me to rule. How about we actually activate who we are,
I can't walk
who he
away.
Is in this moment? Because he's here. He's here.
No, I can't walk away. For I have seen your face. So I can't walk away. Sing, I just. And I just wanna be where you are.